go again from the BB&T Center in the beautiful city of Sunrise, Florida. The Pointer Sisters to get us rolling on a Thursday.
Is this 48 hours?
Nah, you like this though?
Well, no, this is off a movie.
Mm-mm.
Really?
It may sound a little bit like 48 hours or something. Remember they did Neutron Dance, the Pointer Sisters. Maybe it's got that little vibe to it.
I like this little beat.
Great song. Automatic. Pointer Sisters. Nice job, Dono and Frito. New show before us. Everybody make sure you listen. 10 till 2 every single day. Dono is going to continue his celebratory first day with the new show by being on the air again after us at 6 o'clock tonight.
Really?
From here at the BB&T Center.
Donald's a workhorse.
And he forgot pants at the studio, so he's going to drive home. I think he lives out by the
Kendall.
Falls or whatever.
Yeah.
Just to get pants to come back here and do the show tonight. So,
wouldn't it be better just to go to Walmart and pick up a pair of
That's what someone had suggested via the text machine was just, yeah, stop, get a $20, $15 pair of pants, and you come here and... Well, whatever. Dono's got his
He got that
ideas.
Baby, man. He got that baby. Man, I'm telling you, babies are money drainers.
All of a sudden, $15 for a pair of pants doesn't seem like a drop in the bucket anymore.
You ever bought diapers? You remember that? Because you're a ways away from it.
You go through money on that stuff.
Diapers get you, boy.
And the formula, diapers and formula, man, go through that. Lot of stuff to get to. This is going to be one of those true loaded potato programs because we're a couple days away from Dolphins-Patriots. I think the big stat everyone's been hanging on lately is the Dolphins are very good at home against the Patriots. I've asked you several times this week, do they have to resort to gimmickry in order to beat the Patriots? And you have said yes every time, unwavering in your affirmative answer. Yes, they will be able to beat New England if they go to some sort of gimmicky game plan.
But I always say I don't like gimmicky. I don't like tricky. I call it innovative. You're not loading up and running an I formation to beat the Patriots on Sunday. I want to see something like I did in the Oakland game, like I did in the Tennessee game, like I've seen in the Jets game. They had the RPO stuff going in the Jets game when Tannehill, I want to say, led the team in rushing. I need to see something that the Patriots haven't seen. And you know what people like to talk about during the Patriot week? The Wildcat game. The Wildcat, one of the biggest losses that day, 25-point loss, Foxborough.
And rarely do you ever see Bill Belichick look lost. That was the thing that I think strikes everyone so much from that game was he stood there on that sideline with no answer.
And he admitted it after the game because one of my most vivid memories was down in the bowels of Foxborough and walking out after showering and talking to the media and all that and looking at Bill Belichick's press conference, and he admitted, he was like, they got us today. And he said that we had no answer. We were not prepared for the direct snap offense. He didn't call the Wildcat, but he was saying we weren't. They got us. He was like, it's not going to happen again. We're going to prepare for this in the future. So I want to go back to that to say that was it gimmicky? Was it tricky? Yes, but was it very innovative? Because we rode that offense to the playoffs. So that's what I want to see. I've seen some jet sweeps. I've seen some throwbacks. I've seen some reverses. You can't load up and have an entire offensive game plan in that realm. But you need to catch them off guard three or four times on Sunday, hopefully get one of them explosive plays, and that's what the Dolphins are missing.
Speaking of catching people off guard, I think I've caught you off guard a couple years with this. Do you know what today is, what the anniversary is? Do you have any idea? Do you wake up on this day, December 6th, and say, wow, big day?
Man, that's great. When they settled the Everglades.
When they what?
Settled the Everglades.
I don't think anyone's still settled the Everglades.
Now we're talking.
Don't you? I don't think so. Today is the anniversary of your interception against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Let's listen to that, Valero.
Cameron Wake on the field now, the pass rushing specialist. Going after him. Got him. Oh, he got the football for the kickoff. Channing Crowder with an interception at the 38-yard line. And this football game is all but over. The Miami Dolphins have come from a 14-point deficit to beat the New England Patriots. 22-21 here at Landshark Stadium.
Landshark Stadium. The magic was made. My radio partner, Channing Crowder, picks off Tom Brady, the GOAT. And seals the victory for the Miami Dolphins.
It's what people talk to me the most about now. That's all they – honestly, that's all they talk to me about.
Hey, man, if you're going to intercept – he only had one interception in his NFL career, but if you're going to have one and you play for the Miami Dolphins and it comes against Tom Brady to seal a victory, like, you can't write a better interception than that one.
I have people come up to me, hey, man, my wife went into labor after your interceptions. Crazy stuff, man. So, yeah.
You don't wake up on December 6th and say to yourself, ooh, today is the day.
Nope, and I didn't know the day, and I didn't know last year when y'all did it or 2 years ago. It doesn't ring. Like the kid's birthday or the anniversary, it doesn't have that ring like it's supposed to.
This is Mount Rushmore of your professional sports career. It's in the Mount Rushmore, right?
Oh, it's number one.
Number one.
Like I said, this is what everybody talks about.
Play it one more time, Falero. Special day.
Cameron Wake on the field now, the pass rushing specialist. Going after him. Got him. Oh, he got the football, but he picked off. Chaddy Crowder with an interception at the 38-yard line. And this football game is all but over. The Miami Dolphins have come from a 14-point deficit to beat the New England Patriots. 22-21 here at Landshark Stadium.
And
there you go.
And for people that love the X's and O's of football, when I talk about the schematics, you have to bait Tom Brady into throwing it your way, and I was the rat. So the whole thing was, if you know that you want to go left, you have to show him you're going right and run back left at the last second. And that's the only way he'll throw you the ball. Earlier in the game, I didn't do it. I didn't hesitate long enough. So I flashed right and went back left, and he saw me break and threw it in the ground. And the same exact play, the same exact coverage, and I waited long enough to bait Tom Brady into throwing it into the three-man side other than the two-man side. So, yes, it was schematics, and the X and O's of it was cute. But, yeah, only interception to win the game. It was pretty good.
And do you still own that football?
Yeah, I actually took it to career day. My kids are in elementary school. We do career day. I take it and show the little kids.
You have it, like, in a case or something?
Yeah, it's right in the middle.
It says interception, Tom Brady, like the date and all that stuff?
Yes.
Would you ever sell it?
How much?
Let's say
yes. The answer is yes, but if I have to ask how much, the answer is yes.
$15,000.
Nah.
$25,000.
Nah, you get the six figures, you got it.
$100,000, then you get rid of the ball.
No,
I'm just curious if there's like a
I put my kid through school with that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you later in today's show. You can start thinking about this now. You have money. You're a wealthy guy.
Oh, wealthy. Let's say
you're a wealthy guy.
I'm okay.
Compared to most people listening right now, you're a wealthy guy. You live in a neighborhood filled with wealthy people.
Mm-hmm. I got in early. I did. No BS, I got in early. There's like 20 houses now. We got in at 6 houses. Nobody wanted to live there. I got in early.
Do you use a company to put up your Christmas lights and your decorations?
For what?
No, that's what I'm asking.
Come on, this is what
wealthy people do.
No, that's what lazy wealthy people do. There's a difference between wealthy and lazy
wealthy.
Well,
wait a second. No, some big houses like to get up on ladders and bring in a giant Christmas tree you could see it. You know, people have from floor to these giant panes of glass where you look inside and it looks like an Architectural Digest picture. So you were saying the Crowder household, you go get a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
You get a live one
We have like a 12-foot tree, but it's fake and it lights up itself. You pop that damn joke.
You go get it out of the garage or wherever it is.
Got in a storage closet, and I got a 10-foot, a 13-foot, and a 15-foot ladder. I put them up around there, and I put all that crap on it. Man, come on, man. You think I'm going to pay somebody money to come up in my I'm going to let a sex predator in my house.
What? What happened?
To mess with my Christmas tree?
Hey, sex predator? But you have to. That has to be commonplace in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I've seen people, especially the big palm trees. They get the big palm trees wrapped.
Right, like if you want to do it right in a neighborhood with huge houses, it's hard. I mean, that would take a lot of manpower.
I put up me a couple wreaths on the little courtyard. You know,
the wreath doesn't have to be plugged in. Do you have anything that needs lights?
Man, come on, man, you don't like wreaths?
No, I'm not saying I don't like them.
Wreaths.
But if I'm talking about decorating a multi-million-dollar house with lights on palm trees, you go, I hang a couple of wreaths.
You don't like wreaths?
I'm saying it's a little bit, a little chintzy there in the neighborhood. Isn't
wreaths
it?
Are Christmas.
I'm
you think these row
not.
Of lights and these big projectors are Christmas?
Yeah, they got the bouncing Grinch off the garage door, the Grinch. And
where have
the
we
Grinch
gone?
Is running across.
No, it's Reese, baby. 6'7", Reese on the front of your house.
So Channing Crowder, even on the anniversary of his interception of Tom Brady, you are saying you do not pay a company, even though you have the money to do so, you do not pay a company to put up your Christmas decorations.
No, you can't.
And do you think that that takes away, if you hire someone to put up your Christmas decorations, does that take away from the spirit of the Christmas decorations?
I believe yes, because I'm old school, even though I'm an edge of millennial, but we do the Christmas tree. Like, I'll put it up. Me and my wife will put it up because we have 5 and a 7-year-old. All they can do is get hurt picking up those big-ass pieces of metal. But once we get the tree up, we do the thing where the kids get to unwrap it. They have their little, that big-ass heavy clay, the clay Christmas ornament that all kids make that are 17 pounds. He have all those little cute, you know, birthday gift Christmas things with their name written on them, all that crap they get in elementary school, so they get to tell me where to hang their stuff they love. We make it a family event. They have pictures of them as kids.
But I am talking more on the outside of the house, yeah, though, because these show homes oftentimes have professional help.
See, I don't show out. That's the difference, too. A lot of these people say, oh, we have money, let's show out. I don't show out. I give you a couple wreaths.
Well, obviously, if you're hanging a couple of wreaths, I think we've... we've established that.
Those people that put the whole all 8 reindeer and all the Grinch on the roof and Santa landing and all. You're just trying to show out, man.
Somebody texts.
I would respect it more if they put it into the damn stock market.
Somebody texts in, Hawk, I'll come set up your Christmas lights if you're paying. I got one box of menorah candles. I take that from CVS to the house. I'm good to go. I don't have to go through all these histrionics, but I see this in South Florida. I see driving around, there are these huge displays, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't know who some of your neighbors are, but I'm like, especially if it's a current player, like, they're on the road sometimes or whatever, and they want to get the house all decorated, they got to hire someone. I was just wondering if the Crowder household does so.
No, and we a lot of people don't put lights up in our neighborhood. We only have but so many houses. It's kind of overrated.
Christmas?
Lights.
Lights in general?
Yeah, the Christmas lights
in general.
Lights. You know, who are you? When a man dresses up, you're trying to impress your woman or trying to impress other women. When a woman dresses up, she's trying to impress. Honestly, I think it's more about the other women, but maybe some men. When you're dressing up your house, who are you trying to impress? The neighbors?
Yep, absolutely.
For what?
Absolutely. That's exactly what you're trying to do.
Impress the neighbors.
Yep.
I'm married already. What am I trying to impress? What am I doing to impress them?
Okay.
We have more lights than you on our bushes.
I'm just asking,
man. Get the hell out of here.
One more time for his anniversary, Falero. Let's hear the INT.
Cameron Wake on the field now, the pass rushing specialist. Going after him. Got him. Oh, he got the football, but he picked off. Channing Crowder with an interception at the 38-yard line. And this football game is all but over. The Miami Dolphins have come from a 14-point deficit to beat the New England Patriots. 22-21 here at Landshark Stadium.
Happy anniversary.
The one thing that I think about is my birthday was December 2nd. It's always around my birthday because it was. It's always the first week of December. And my wife remembers it being my birthday week.
Remember? So you kind of know when your birthday rolls around.
But, yeah, when my birthday rolls, my wife always says it. Oh, that was your birthday week. Whenever she hears, and she's going to hear it today and say, oh, yeah, that was the interception. That was your birthday week.
Do you have that on video somewhere?
The interception?
Like, do you have it downloaded somewhere? Like, where you could show your kids tonight, hey, you know, today on this date in whatever year it was, I intercepted Tom Brady. I know you can go online. I'm just saying, do you have it, like, on your phone or something, downloaded?
The only thing I have, like, saved visually is my wedding. I have it on DVD and Blu-ray or whatever, but no, YouTube pretty much does
it. I mean, I've got that, too, but no one has a DVD player anymore.
I got three of them.
Unless it's on your phone,
man,
I don't consider
it to be downloaded. I have so many damn Moana DVDs, you can kiss my tail. I'm using DVD.
I'm using this thing up.
My kids see an interception, and they talk about it because they know, like, because they ask me all the time, and it's the funniest thing. Daddy, who's the best football player? Like, that's a kiddie question. They don't know. They'll look at Florida play, you know, Missouri. Daddy, who's the best football player in the world? Because that's what kids ask. And I tell them in my honest of heart to heart, right now, Tom Brady.
Yep.
Is that the guy that you intercepted? I say, yeah. You intercepted the best football player in the world? Yeah. And now I'm a hero
to him. Pretty good argument to get someone to eat their broccoli.
Oh, yeah.
When they know
yeah.
you're the guy that intercepted the greatest football player in the world.
I hope they don't find the only interception. When that age comes, it's going to be a long conversation. I'm a hero.
And that's a lot of caramel apples.
I'm a hero now.
Ben Volen, is he joining us next, Falero?
Yes, he is.
Ben Volen covers the New England Patriots and the NFL for the Boston Globe. We can talk a little bit about the GOAT, Tom Brady, with him. He's going to join us in the next segment. Radio.com.
Cam.com.
Very 80s Valero.
Throwback Thursday, baby.
Throwback Thursday. We're at the BB&T Center, by the way. You've got Panthers hockey tonight. It's the Avalanche in town. Tuesday when we were out here, Panthers kicked the crap out of the Bruins.
5-0.
Hopefully we can kick the crap out of another team from that area, the New England Patriots, on Sunday.
Maybe Luongo can come play for us.
Put him out on defense.
Hell, safety.
We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Ben Volen is there. He covers the NFL and the New England Patriots for the Boston Globe. Friend of the program, used to cover the Dolphins down here. Hello, Ben.
Guys, that intro music makes you want to get my machine guns and bury my face in a pile full of cocaine like Tony Montana.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting vibe to bring you on there,
Ben,
man.
Misses Miami.
He misses Miami. Who wouldn't miss Miami? Very cold. I'm imagining it's cold up there, Ben.
Yes, Thanksgiving Day, it was a wind chill of zero. And so it hasn't been that bad since then, but I'm ready to get to the beach and rock a tank top this weekend and soak up all the sun that I can.
Today is a very special anniversary in the annals of Miami Dolphins history. Would you like to hear what happened on this exact day? What year was it, Crowder?
I don't even know. 08, 09?
Valero, what year was it? Do you know?
09.
I think it's 09.
09. Would you like to hear, Ben, what happened on this date in 2009?
Yeah, I would love to hear, actually.
Okay, play it, Valero.
Cameron Wake on the field now, the pass rushing specialist. Going after him, got him! Oh, he got the football, but he picked off! Channing Crowder with an interception at the 38-yard line, and this football game is all but over! The Miami Dolphins have come from a 14-point deficit to beat the New England Patriots, 22-21 here at Landshark Stadium.
How about that, Ben? Channing Crowder intercepts the GOAT to seal the victory for the Miami Dolphins.
Now, I know this week we were able to make a federal holiday for George H.W. Bush. Do you think we can get Marco Rubio on the phone or someone to make a federal holiday, too, for this big anniversary?
So it's funny because someone on the text machine, when I played it earlier, someone texted in on the text machine, this should be a Miami holiday. Like, we should all have the day off for this because it was Channing's only interception in his NFL career. But, damn, that's a pretty good one to have on your resume, no?
I planned on making more plays, man. It just never came.
I planned on being an astronaut. I don't know what happened either.
How many names ago was Landshark Stadium, by the way?
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable span, right? Even the BB&T Center where we are right now, where the Panthers play, this started as the National Car Rental Center. Then what did it become after this? Do you know, Tree? I don't even know what the history of this building is. Is that ever a good investment on a company's part?
A stadium?
Being associated with a stadium?
Oftentimes the place, I think, goes out of business. Wasn't this the Office Depot Center at one point? I think this was the Office Depot Center at one point.
Not that it'd be profitable because people keep buying them.
But not profitable. I mean, it's marketing. It's branding. You get your name out there all the time. I'm certain. What is it for the Patriots? Gillette?
Yeah, I mean, I would think if you're associated with a team that wins all the time, I mean, Gillette didn't know what they were getting into when they agreed to the sponsorship deal with the Patriots. But I think it's worked out for them pretty well. How often do we say the name Gillette, 72
right.
million times during the season? But, if you're the stadium name for the Arizona Cardinals, I don't know how well that investment pays off.
Right, yeah, on something like that. Because, the American Airlines Arena where the Heat play, I mean, during the Big Three era, I mean, you're on national TV 50 games out of 82.
But does it offset now when you're not on TV?
Yeah, I don't
at
know.
All?
I don't know.
That would be the question.
I do not know. All right, before we talk Fins Pats on Sunday with Ben Volen here from the Boston Globe, are you surprised that the Dolphins are 6 after 12 games? I mean, they've suffered some injuries and they're still 6-6 and in the hunt.
So, yes, but probably not what you want to hear. I'm surprised they're 6-6 and that they're not worse. Their point differential is minus 56. That usually means you're a 4-8 team, not 6-6, and they've done a good job of winning some close games at home. Pulling it out against the Bears, the Raiders last week against the Bills, but they're not beating good teams. And I think you know, they started 3-0, and then since they've become a 3-6 team, and I think they're probably more on that end. They're 29th in offense and 29th in defense. Have just been inconsistent at quarterback all season. Tannehill in and out of the lineup. So I give them credit for winning these close games and being 6-6 and in the playoff hunt when, frankly, I don't know if they really belong to be there.
And as you watch Tannehill, Ben, you were down here, you saw some Tannehill, now you're gone, you're, you know, watching him a little less than you used to. Like, the same evaluation, is it changing, is it swinging positive, negative? What's going on with your assessment of Tannehill?
I mean, I can't say I've watched a ton of his throws this year. I thought that touchdown he threw last week over the middle to the flying receiver, that was a pretty impressive throw. And, like, that's been Tannehill's career. He makes a few throws every game that you're like, wow, that is an awesome NFL-caliber throw. Not just NFL-caliber, but like an elite athleticism type of throw. And he has the potential. But it's now year seven, and he hasn't quite put it together yet. And now he's starting to deal with knee injuries and things like that that might sap him of his athleticism a little bit. I don't think he's necessarily been given a great shake. They're all constantly changing the personnel around him, and the offensive coordinator and the system just has not had any stability. But you know, he's not improving, and he's not showing great pocket awareness all the time. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Tannehill just take a sack in the pocket where he doesn't feel the pressure and he doesn't feel the rush coming. I was asked earlier this week, you know, will Tannehill be back next year? Obviously, I don't have any firsthand knowledge. If you look at his contract, it's actually, it looks expensive, but for a quarterback, I think his contract next year is fairly reasonable. So even if they do draft a quarterback, and I imagine they're going to be pretty heavily invested in the draft again this year, you still might be able to bring Tannehill back and have sort of an Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes situation where maybe Tannehill plays one more year before giving way to the rookie. But, you know, Tannehill's got talent, but he's just been inconsistent. Now these injuries are starting to worry me.
And, Ben, when people ask me about Tannehill, I say an attribute that I say Tom Brady has, man, and it just, you know, when I played him and now he knows when to, and it sounds crazy, he knows when to give up on a play and just throw it out of bounds. Is that a you know, a good assessment of what Tom does? Because I've seen plenty of times, first read, second read, third read, oh, yeah, they got us. Boom, out of bounds. I don't think a lot of young quarterbacks are good at that.
Yeah, it's a big quality of what makes Brady successful, you know, live to see another day. What's interesting about Brady is one criticism of him this season is he might be giving up on plays a little too early. When they had that bad loss to Tennessee a few weeks ago, he had clean pockets and a lot of time to shuffle around and make something happen. And he would just throw the ball in the guy's feet or throw it away on purpose. And there have been whispers that at 41 years old, maybe Brady isn't as willing to take the big hits this year, and maybe, you know, because of his whole off-field TB12 brand that he's trying to sell and how he's trying to defeat Father Time, that he doesn't want to get hit and doesn't want to get injured. Now, I thought he did a pretty good job of standing in the pocket the last couple weeks against the Jets and the Vikings. I think he heard that criticism plenty after the Titans game. Then they had a bye week. So 2 weeks of Brady hearing how he was giving up on plays too early. But you'd still rather them do that than turn the ball over. The worst thing you can do is sit in the pocket too long and be a sitting duck for a big strip sack or anything like that, or try to force a throw. So Brady has definitely been good at that. But at times this year, he's definitely been a little too quick to throw it away.
Ben Volen from the Boston Globe is with us. With the Ryan Tannehill conversation, like we talked about, you know, you get towards the end of the seventh season, and again, there's the question of, well, if he had stability, like you said, or if he has a complete season where he's not injured. But can you answer, is this a fair question after seven seasons? Will you ever win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback? Because if the answer is no, I don't think you have to ask a single question beyond that. Like, you kind of know, I would think, after seven seasons, right? You know whether this guy is ever going to be your quarterback in a Super Bowl victory. And if the answer is no, what else would you need to find out?
I'm with you, except the only thing that troubles me is the guy who won the last Super Bowl. I mean, Nick Foles.
Right.
Like, that was the whole analysis of last year's game is, well, you know, the Eagles are great, but it's Tom Brady versus Nick Foles, and there's no way that Brady's going to lose to Foles. And then he does. So, you know, in a perfect spot, if the Dolphins, you know, recreated the Killer Bees defense and brought back Ricky Williams and Jason Taylor and just, you know, had a perfect season and perfect pieces around him, could Tannehill do it? Yeah, I think maybe he could. But You know, the injury thing is definitely a concern because it's now 2 years in a row where it's happening to him, and he's an athletic running quarterback, and injuries are not good for that. And, yeah, most likely you're going to see it early on, like Russell Wilson or, you know, Pat Mahomes hasn't accomplished anything, but you can tell the kid's got it. And you just haven't quite seen that from Tannehill. But you have to remember, it's easy to say get rid of him, but what are you replacing him with? And if you're the Dolphins and you want to draft a quarterback again and go through that whole thing again, I mean, look what's happening with the Bills and the Jets this year. They might have their quarterbacks, but these are lost seasons, and the Dolphins really cannot afford to keep having these lost seasons where they're going 3-13 and there's no fan interest. So that's why even if they do draft a quarterback, I still think they might be better off keeping Tannehill for a year because they can't afford to take a step back under one of these rookie quarterbacks again. They've got to try to keep building and keep winning. And part of the problem with the Dolphins is they just keep changing everything every 3 years. Coordinators, schemes, players, you know, just having to, like, look at the Bengals. I know it's not the best example, but they've had some incredible stability under Marvin Lewis, and they made the playoffs a bunch of times. So, you know, I think, honestly, stability is probably what the Dolphins need the most.
And thinking about Sunday, why do the Patriots lose? As I look at it, something jumps out, Ben, that the three losses that the Patriots have, 9-3, Jacksonville, Titans, and Lions. Titans are coached by Vrabel, and the Lions are coached by Matt Patricia. Is there some kind of explanation of why those ex-coaches seem to come and dominate, actually, beating them by, what, 16 and 14 in those games? Why did his predecessor, why did his tree branches, why are they coming back and beating Belichick?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's those teams' Super Bowl. And, you know, any team that plays the Patriots, that's usually their Super Bowl. Like the Jaguars in Week 2 also. And those teams, they all just completely collapse emotionally after beating the Patriots. The Titans did, the Jaguars did, the Lions have been pretty up and down this year. But I think you give Matt Patricia and Mike Vrabel a lot of credit for kind of knowing all the little tricks that the Patriots like to do and having their teams prepared for it. You know, Mike Vrabel said it many times after the game, like, they didn't give the Patriots anything, and that's such a big deal. Like, they didn't give them the easy quarterback sneak, and they didn't let them beat them with personnel changes and weird formations. Like, the Patriots, they do a lot of the gimmicky things, and it works very well to their advantage. And the Lions and the Titans, they know all those tricks, and they had their teams ready to play. The Patriots have not been as good on the road this year. They're 4-3 or 3-3 on the road this year, and those three bad losses that you mentioned. And this is going to be another challenge for them down in Miami. That it always is. They've lost 4 out of 5 down there, but. I think the Patriots are playing better. They had a good road win 2 weeks ago against the Jets. The defense is playing really well right now. They shut down Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, held them to 10 points last week. And just the Dolphins, you know, their struggles on offense. Xavier Howard's going to be out on defense. I think it'll be a closer game. It won't be a blowout like it was back in Week 4 or whatever it was up here in Foxborough. But actually, I do like the Patriots' chances this time down in Miami.
Ben Volen, Boston Globe. He covers the New England Patriots and the NFL. Quickly on the way out, Ben, is something lost if you hire a company to put up your Christmas decorations? You don't do it yourself?
Not exactly the most personal touch, I would say that. But it's easier, and it's a lot easier to just throw some money at the problem instead of doing it yourself. So that's right. The American way, right?
So you're okay, Crowder.
He doesn't. Money and no problem. I throw elbow grease.
He doesn't think that your NFL wealth is getting in the way of you enjoying Christmas like the rest
Ben,
of us.
I don't hire anybody.
Mere mortals. Ben, thanks for making time for us, man.
And Channing, a sincere congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you, Ben. I don't know how genuine that was, but thank you.
I like watching Crowder have to accept compliments because he's not good at it. Not many people are good at that. It's especially in what we do, which is, you know, just insult each other nonstop. When someone does give you an actual compliment, I think that was an actual compliment from Ben, and you, because you don't know what to do with it, just
but
took it as he's being snarky.
But is it a compliment? It's so far removed. It's like it's
no, that's a big deal.
Okay, Lou the salesman, he outsells everybody in January.
Lou the salesman outsells
everybody in March.
That's
the following October. Do you say, "Hey, Lou, last March, big dog, great sales month"?
Let it go. But if you outrated or outsold the greatest salesman of all time,
what's the man's name? The sales movie you love.
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, Glenn and Glenn. He outsold Glengarry Glen Ross, doubled their sales. 3 years later, you don't tell them about, oh, great month.
I know. I totally
No, you leave Lou alone.
Mrs. Nyborg, hello. I could do Glengarry Glen Ross lines all day. Unfortunately, only me and Barry Cohen would get it. So.
And he's coughing half the time, so he wouldn't hear anything.
Hello, Mrs. Nyborg. All right, we're at the BB&T Center. Panthers hockey tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come right back. Radio.com. Back at the BB&T Center, Crowder and I till 6 o'clock.
Got me hanging on the string.
And then Alex Dono, as if you didn't get enough of him already from 10 till 2 with Josh Friedman. You'll get him again tonight at 6 o'clock.
I like that. Old Dono. You can't beat Dono.
Forbes magazine has come out. You can rank where we fall within the pantheon of radio personalities here. We're talking about, you know, having someone put up your Christmas tree decorations for you and whatnot. I'm talking money. Like, I'm talking Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor money.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll say it's about, I would guess, a couple grand.
To have, so I mean, it depends on the size of the house, obviously. I mean, if you have a compound, you could be looking at $10,000.
Too many lights are too tacky. You wrap some palm trees down here. You throw some stuff in your bushes. Maybe a little Santa on the roof. You're set to go.
Well, here are, according to Forbes magazine, the 5 highest paid talk show hosts in radio and what they make.
Okay.
And I'm spoiler alert, we're not on here.
I don't think I'm on the Pantheon at the station.
If there was a station pantheon, where do we fall?
Our boss is laughing at my salary.
Topping the list, as I believe he does every year, Howard Stern, estimated to make this year, you want to guess?
I don't even know, $10
million. $90 million.
$9?
$90 million dollars.
What are we doing wrong?
And do you know what Stern does, by the way, too? He works 3 days a week. Their show airs live only Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. He gets about 16 weeks of vacation every year. And he starts, used to start at 6 a.m. Now he starts at 7 a.m. But anyway, $90 million.
He's better than us.
He is better than us. In fact,
I remember watching Urlacher run around. Zach Thomas when I got here.
He's better.
He's better than us.
Rush Limbaugh, number 2. He lives on Palm Beach. I would imagine he pays someone to put up his Christmas decorations.
Oh, for sure.
He is estimated to make, as a radio talk show host, $84.5 million this year. Hmm. Ryan Seacrest is next. Now, this is only for his radio stuff.
That's the Hollywood, what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, American Idol.
American
and,
Idol.
He does the live with Regis and whatever, but he's
a little cute one.
So he does a regular morning show in L.A. He does the Top 40 Countdown and whatnot. Ryan Seacrest, $74 million this year.
And he plays music?
And he plays music.
Oh, my goodness.
We sit here. We scratch and claw to get 4 hours worth of content every day. This dude's going, here's the new, Alicia Cara.
Who?
I don't know. Oh. I think she was at the radio station. Was she at the radio station, Laro?
Yes, she was. Alessia, I believe it is.
Whatever.
Oh, and had the security guard outside waiting.
Is that true?
Yeah, man, I'd have smacked that man.
Someone else was there today or yesterday. Who was there yesterday?
No idea.
Ely Goulding.
That was the one. Had like two Escalades outside waiting.
Is that
and
true?
Stuff. I saw
a little
motorcade.
She was there yesterday. I saw it online because I wasn't in yesterday.
What's her name?
Eli Goulding.
No, Ellie Goulding.
Right.
You didn't
she
say that.
She was in there with in the Power 96 booth.
Yeah. Eli Goulding
it's
was at the.
It's not Eli.
Yeah, Eli Goulding.
It's a boy or girl?
It's a girl.
Both. And then
no girl
fourth on the list, Sean Hannity. This drops way down, $34 million. Oh. And then fifth, Glenn Beck, $8.5 million.
Mm. Poor Glenn.
So there you go. Forbes, those are the highest paid radio hosts. Now, we're inching to get into that club via gambling, not through radio. We're taking a different route. You see, you can't take the route that everyone is on, right?
The road less traveled?
The road less traveled.
I got you. Let's go down this road with Howard and them, though. Let's ask old Newt how to get on the road he's driving on.
Here's the problem. We've been driving on that street. It ain't happening.
We're not going fast enough.
I hate to break it to you. It ain't happening.
Well, let's detour.
We're going to try to get there cumulatively by the end of our careers, which is probably going to be sooner rather than later. Oh, by the way, speaking of like gazillionaires, the Rolling Stones, you know, they're coming to Hard Rock Stadium on April 20th. We're going to have two tickets to give away to that concert on today's program. That is an unbelievable prize.
Yeah.
I don't know if that gets us any closer to making what Howard Stern makes or not, but if it does, there's a little stepping stone that we're taking towards that. We're doing it. We're doing it. So on today's show, before 6 o'clock, someone is going to win two tickets to see the Rolling Stones at Hard Rock Stadium. So that is a damn good prize right there. Now, I was saying about gambling. Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler, generally joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
DM me yesterday. He is busy the next 2 days, cannot figure out a time that he can come on with us. And I said, okay, take the day off. Like, there's no big deal. We'll hit you back on next week. We've had, though, fill in a couple times for Pizzola, Lee Sterling. Lee Sterling is a professional handicapper out of South Florida. And I have to tell you, he's been very good in the gambling arena the 2 weeks that we've had him on.
He went 80% one that
first
week.
Yeah, it was like he gave us some significant winners. So in the next segment, we will give you some, hopefully, good gambling advice, which will get us closer to the pantheon of the Sterns and the Limbaughs and whatnot, and maybe someone can afford to have someone put up the Christmas decorations.
Tease the parlay to tease of something.
I don't think we've
hit
a single parlay this year, have we?
We're going to have the 14-team
parlay.
We've
hit a teaser, but we have not. Yeah, we've never hit. We have not. Actually, didn't we hit a three-teamer? I think earlier this season. I think we may have hit a three-teamer.
I don't think we did.
I don't know, Larry. You know, he's retrospect.
Have you seen our totals?
Genius.
Yeah. Our totals look good right now, son.
Okay. Right now. But.
Yeah. Well, that's all I'm worried about right now. Anyway, Lee Sterling, he is a professional gambler. I want to get his take on the Dolphins game. Canes, Wisconsin. I want to get his take on the Notre Dame-Clemson line.
Yep.
So he's a professional handicapper. Lee Sterling joins us in the next segment.